Broadcasting live from Studio 1A in Brooklyn, New York, this is Empire State Reptiles Live, specializing in connecting breeders and fans worldwide. Sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Get that off of him. No, quite. Get over there.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to Empire State Reptiles Live. I almost slipped up on that one and said my radio show. Tonight, we've got Mike Matson from Mike Fat Frog. Tonight's show is brought to you by Symptom Black Soldier Fly Solutions. You can check them out at www.symptonbss.com. And Mike has been working with Pac-Man frogs and all kinds of stuff for a really long time now. As far as like breeders go, Mike's been working with them. Good time to be considered an expert in them, breeding and selling and wholesale and all that. So, Mike, why don't you say hello?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. So, why don't we just like jump into, you know, the basic husbandry care for somebody with, like, a single Pac-Man frog or maybe even a few, you know, that doesn't have, like, crazy huge breeding setup quite yet.
Gotcha. Okay, well, you know, there's two ways to keep them. You can do your typical tank or there is a sweater box, you know, your snake rack type setup. It just depends. If you like to see your animal, obviously the tank is the better way of, you know, to go. The sweater box, it's a little more economical. You can house several animals in a small space. I personally like the tanks. You can see each one individually. The setup, what works well for me, I like the Repti chip, and so it's more of a bark-type substance. Cocoa fiber is good also. Sometimes there's plus and minuses with cocoa fiber. If it's too damp or too dry, it'll cause problems. Repti chip seems to be pretty good. Do a heat pad. You can run it on the side or the back of the tank, even underneath on a certain spot, you know, not covering the whole tank, but about a third of it. That way the frog can go back and forth. As far as, you know, the water, you do a water dish, a small container. A lot of people use like a plant, the little pot that your plant pot will sit in, that little bottom container. You can use that. The light, you know, a fluorescent light's just fine. You don't want to use a heat light because it will take the humidity right out of the air. It'll dry them out pretty quick. As far as the racks, lots of ventilation, all four sides. And then, you know, once again, Repti chip is good. You can do damp paper towels, but those need to be changed out every day and wash the tub every day. Let's see here. You know, temperature-wise, 76 to 82 is a pretty good temperature. You stay out of a lot of problem areas. If you're too cool, your frog's not going to eat, going to want to hibernate. You know, obviously too warm, not good for the frog either.
Yeah. So how often would you have to change out those chips?
The Repti chip lasts in a 5-gallon size tank with an adult frog. The Repti chip will last about 3 weeks. And you just do even layer across, maybe inch and a half deep. And it works really well. I really like this stuff. And it's chunky enough to where, you know, if the frog urinates, goes to the bottom, the frog doesn't necessarily sit in it. It sits on top of everything.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember you used to have, like, some kind of foam inside. Do you still use those?
The company that I bought the foam from, they went out of business. So it's no longer available. I mean, I can search it down, but everybody wants retail for it. And so it's fairly hard for me to get now. And I just don't have a need for it. So I go the other routes, but foam is good. Foam is actually really good. I haven't bought any lately.
Okay. And, I was going somewhere. Food. What kind of feeders,
food-wise?
Yeah.
Babies? Let's see. You could do, obviously, the crickets to start out with. Minnows is another good food item.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Hikari, the Pac-Man sticks. Those are really good. I like those a lot. Once they get bigger, I stay away from the earthworms. Sorry, I'm doing something here also. I stay away from the earthworms. I had a friend of mine that got a group of earthworms from a farm, and it started the worst bacteria infections that I've ever seen in a collection and completely wiped out every one of his frogs. And so I learned from that, stay away from the earthworms. You don't know where those animals, you know, as far as the feeders have been. You don't know what they're eating, what they're being raised on, the condition, and you're just passing that along to your frogs. And so
It was from the earthworms?
Yeah, it was from the earthworms. You know, your waxworms and all that, those are just fine. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
It's the earthworms. You know, they eat poop, they eat manure, you know, all kinds of stuff. They're just kind of given whatever. And so that causes a lot of problems. If you get a bad group of it, it gets passed along to your frogs. As far as juveniles,
wow,
Subadults, I just go to Pinky and Fuzzy Mice. They work just fine. And you do that every other week.
No crickets
for the juveniles and adults. They just don't have enough substance to get the frog to grow at a reasonable rate.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have a bigger frog with a really large mouth chasing around crickets and substrate, and they tend to swallow a lot more.
Yeah. Pretty good information. And what about for the adult ones? Do you still do with Pinkies, or do you go with the bigger mice?
On the males, what you do is you feed a fuzzy mouse, and then the females you feed an adult mouse size. And you do it every 2 weeks or so. When they defecate, it's safe to feed them again. What you don't want to do is compact the food, you know, one feeding after another without them defecating, because they'll just get blocked up.
Oh, that's actually something that you don't hear a lot in the groups when people are talking about feeding them. You know, they say, oh, just once a week. They don't say anything about wait for it to take a crap before you shove some more down its throat.
Yeah, I buy a lot of frogs also, and I've bought some really, really big female Pac-Mans. And I won't feed them for the first 2 or 3 weeks just simply because I want to see, you know, what they defecate, how much they defecate. And usually, I mean, it's like they go to the bathroom and it's the size of a roll of quarters. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
And they just don't think, you know, the animal, just like us, we have to defecate usually our last couple meals before you start eating more and more and more. It's the same.
Yeah.
It applies to the same. And people don't think that. Sure, you can grow a frog. You can get a Pac-Man baby super big, super fast. But then also that frog is going to have problems in the future. And you may compact the animal without even knowing it, and its last meal may be its last meal, and you just never know. So the safest way is feed, wait till it goes to the bathroom, feed, wait till it goes to the bathroom. Now, something like crickets and waxworms, that's generally not a problem, but when you're talking, you know, Pinky mice, Fuzzy mice, stuff with the hair on it that can compact, you want to wait as long as you can.
Wow, that's pretty good to know. Now, you do a lot of wholesale now. I don't see much of the individual stuff on you have the Mike's Fat Fried Perp Auction page. Is that the full name of it?
Yeah, it's the Mike's Fat Frogs Herps Auction page. The last few months, I've kind of taken a step back from the frogs. The market got pretty flooded there for a little while. There's going to be some changes here shortly in the future. And I'm just starting to breed the frogs again right now. I get that going again, there's going to be a lot of wholesale, and then I'm cutting back time-wise. I'm up pretty much 18, 19 hours a day. So I'm trying to exchange a few things. My retail sales are going to they're not going to necessarily go away. They're going to be transferred to whatever gets sold on the auction page. That's once a week. I can regulate that. It's very easy for me. The wholesale stuff obviously is still going to be there, but the individual sales of posting my ads out for individual animals, I'm not going to do that anymore. It also competes with, you know, those that buy from me on the wholesale level. it's hard.
Yeah.
It's not right for me to sell wholesale and then for me to sell retail also, because I could beat anybody's price because I produce it myself. Well, if I wholesale something for $7 and I retail it for $10, that only gives that the broker, the middle guy, $3 to make. It's just not worth it for them. So I'm just going to stick to wholesale.
Yeah.
You know, I have a few, not diehard fans, but a few fans that, you know, really, really like my frogs. Actually, quite a few people. But the auction still gives them the option to buy directly from me at a good price, but it's not killing the market for everybody else. There's generally, you know, 3 or 5 frogs a week that I'm going to be posting up on there, and that's it. That's all that they get, you know, auctioned to them each week. So keeps people engaged and involved and, you know, hey, Mike's still out there, but he's doing mainly this now. So we can still get his stuff, but through somebody else. It's not necessarily directly. I get 30 to 40 messages a day, and I try to answer as many as I can. I just simple thing. I just need to get a website out there that has a lot of the basic information out there.
Yeah. Is your website live still? Because I know there is some kind of a website you've got.
There's a very old mikesfatfrogs.weebly.com. I don't use that. I made that about 5 years ago on a whim one night when I was bored. And I had a .com website, but that was something in control of my ex-wife, and she deleted it. So since then, I really haven't done much. I do a lot of the Facebook. That's the easiest. I can change something on there within 30 seconds. I mean, it's quick. Website, I have to physically go in, you know, take some time on a computer, change this, change that, and everything updates and changes so often, I just don't have the time to do that.
Right on. Now, since we are on the topic of your Facebook group where things are sold, will you be offering any kind of single or, like, trios of animals again, or will it all just be, like, you know, 100 tadpoles?
Yeah, I'll have it on my auction, you know, probably starting the end of April. I'm supposed to be getting a shipment from Malaysia here real soon. So I'll have some unique species that I'll add along to the auction page with the frogs also. And, you know, that'll be nice. It'll give people a couple months. So it'll probably be a few months on with the auctions and then a month or two off, just depending around what time of the year and what I'm also doing around that time also.
Okay. And for people that are interested in breeding the frogs and all of that, how much time do you typically spend in a day just on, you know, like, is there a way to figure out, like, 5 Pac-Man frogs? If you've got, like, 2 males and 3 females, what would that cost somebody in time in a day taking care of all the little tadpoles?
You know, it varies on the setup. I remember when I first started, I had the python tubs from Vision, and I had, I would say, 17 of them, and there was about 400 tadpoles in each one. And there was no filters set up, no flush flow system set up, no nothing. I individually changed the water partially every day. It would take me 7 hours a day to go through all the water, because you'd have to set water out, let the temperature cool down or warm up to air temp, and then, you know, change it, then the next one. So I did that. That took me about 6-7 hours a day, you know, and then the feeding also. You have to feed multiple times a day. You know, recently I've been doing some tadpole sales, Pac-Mans. You know, everybody wants to breed them, but they don't understand what's involved. It's not necessarily hard to breed them. What's hard is to raise the tadpoles up. And that's, you know, that's the hardest, the most time consuming and the most expensive part of it. So what I did is everybody wants to, you know, raise their own tadpoles. So I just said, you know what? I'm going to breed them through the winter, and I'll let people buy the tadpoles, which is part of the reason why I have not had so many frogs lately, because I've just been selling tadpoles. And, you know, $2, $2.50 a tadpole, 25 lots, gives people a real good idea of, you know, how to raise them. They get to see the whole process. I mean, besides the initial breeding part and the eggs, they get to see the tadpoles from 5 to 10 days old all the way up to frog stage. So they don't really miss that much. It saves them a lot of time, a lot of headaches, a lot of money, and they get to see and experience it all. And so it's really opened up a lot of people's eyes, and, you know, this is really neat. I just like buying the tadpoles. I don't need to try the breeding side of it because I can get the tadpoles. And, you know, it's also grown, you know, people's mindset of, okay, I can only manage 3 frogs at a time or 10 frogs at a time to now the wholesale market's opening up to the individuals that do the shows. They go, you know what? I did just fine with 20 or 25 frogs. I can make my orders now for 20 or 25 frogs. So it's increased the order size also of the folks that only thought they could keep a half dozen of them at a time because they were willing to risk the try to raise the tadpoles, and then they were successful, and now they have 20 or 25 frogs that they're doing very well with also.
Yeah. That's really cool that you've kind of like pioneered that whole idea. I know like with the bullfrogs and stuff, they've been doing that, but you're like the first one I've ever seen to do the Pac-Man frog tadpoles.
I honestly think so. I don't think I've seen any old ads. I'm pretty savvy with the internet and searching things up, and there's nothing on Pac-Man tadpoles. And I did White's tree frog tadpoles. I'm not sure if those have been around before. I'm looking at doing tomato frog tadpoles, pixie frog tadpoles, ornates, and all of that in the future. It just depends what's going to happen the next year or so business-wise. If I'm going to expand into a lot of other things, I have some, you know, my way. It just depends what goes on.
Yeah. And so for, let's talk a little bit about breeding since we're on this subject.
Okay.
We're like flowing really, really nice into how I've got it set up here. But
yeah, no problem.
So as far as a breeding setup, what kind of money is somebody looking at? Because, you know, I'm from leopard geckos, so I'm like, I buy them, I want to breed them. But with frogs, you know, you got to spend a lot of money. So what kind of money is somebody looking at when they're wanting to breed the frogs?
You know, to breed them successfully, raise the tadpoles, you're looking at $1,000-$1,500 to do it right on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
It's not something where, you know, you can buy a tub and you have your little sterilite inside with some vermiculite and stuff like that, and your animal's laying there, and then you have the incubator costs. With the frogs, especially Pac-Man's, tree frogs are a different ball game. They're a lot less expensive. They're very cheap to raise. Pac-Man's, when I have a full spawn, your Pac-Man's will eat 7 to 8 pounds of bloodworms a day per spawn. I get bloodworms on the wholesale level, so they're not too, too expensive for me. But retail, you're talking $12 a pound, and you're going through $95 to $100 worth of bloodworms a day. And then your water bill. If you're not on commercial water here in California, it's pretty expensive for water. If you're not on commercial water, you're also you got to factor in, okay, your water bill for a month, your electric for a month, keeping them warm, especially during winter, your food bill, then your tank setup, your tubs, you know, whatever you decide to go with, you know, 50, 20 gallon tanks, all the different little filter systems and all of that. It's really variable. But, you know, I'd say $1,000 to $1,500 to do it right on a small scale where you could do a spawn consistently.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really good information for somebody to think about because, I mean, that's a real big risk for, okay, I bred them and I've got these tadpoles and then I can't afford to feed them, you know?
Yep. Yep. And, you know, you also have to realize, too, if you're counting all your eggs in one basket that you may get 3 weeks into, you know, the tadpoles being grown and you change the water and you do it wrong and then you kill all your tadpoles.
Yeah.
And then you're completely out. There is no, you know, second chance. You know, it's the same as your incubator shutting down halfway through and you're in the middle of winter and you're gone for 2 days. You don't know.
Yeah.
And you lose all the eggs in the incubator. There's always a risk, and you have to be willing to assume the risk of whatever happens.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. Do you have employees at all helping you with that?
I have one that's part-time. The problem is with employees, I've only found two of them that have been reliable. With frogs, it's very much you have to pay attention to water quality, you know, how dirty the water is and so on and so forth. I had, you know, an employee a couple of years ago make an accident while I was out of town, and it wiped out the entire warehouse of tadpoles. you know, 30, almost 30 tubs of tadpoles just wiped everything out. And it was pretty hard to recover from that. And so now I'd rather stay up 19 hours a day and do everything myself. And every once in a while, you know, once a week or so, I have, you know, an employee that comes in and kind of, you know, goes around and does a few things, and then they go home and that's it. And I pay pretty well. I pay $20 an hour. So I have them go through and do their couple hours worth of things and go from there. But it's easier for me. I have the mindset of it's not being done right unless you do it yourself. And that's, you know, part of my problem is I don't like to put much in other people's hands. I rather have it all in mine.
Yeah. And I'm sure that there's a lot of training, you know, because the information for breeding and taking care of them in large quantities isn't like just out there for someone to learn. So, I mean,
yeah,
you have to invest a lot.
It's very, very well hidden. Yep. It's very well hidden. There is a few things out there. I mean, there's documents out there that tell you how to do spawning of this and that. And they're not exactly right, but they give you a start. You know, they give you the questions to the test. You just have to figure out the answers. They at least start you somewhere. Pretty savvy with the computer and your keywords and what to search for. If you type in breeding Pac-Man frogs, you're not going to find it. You've got to really dig up some information several pages back on the computer, and you'll eventually find it. I don't want to necessarily say how to on here. I want people to search it and look and figure it out on their own. It's much more of an accomplishment. But it is out there.
Yeah,
it is out there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And as far as breeding, you've got like a, I don't know, probably the largest collection of mutant Pac-Man frogs. Can you tell a little bit about the history on where it comes from or where people think it comes from?
Yeah, you know, it's not completely known 100%. Some say it was something out of the wild that was caught and produced and line bred and this and that. There's, in my mind, there's no way that happened. A good majority of it is some genetic alteration. A lot of it was done back in Japan, and everybody's not quite too honest with it, but you can tell that there's been, you know, changes to the genes and stuff like that that just does not happen. There's nothing comparable that happens to. I mean, the mutants, the only thing comparable is the green tree python, but the stages that the mutant changes at are varied. They can change as tadpoles, they can change as froglets, or they can start changing as juveniles and almost adults. It really depends on each animal. And the other part is, so far, I have not done a mutant-to-mutant spawn, but so far, it just is a random trait. It does not pop up. Like ball pythons, you know, if you have, you know, a pastel this and a normal, you're going to get, I believe, 50% pastel and then 50% normal, if I remember correctly right now. It doesn't work that way with frogs. You know, when I breed a green to albino, I'll get some albino, some green, some brown, possibly a couple strawberries, and then possibly the green-brown mixes. There's just nothing that's for sure with the frogs. I've had one mutant spawn that gave me 80 babies that were all mutants. And then I've had others that were 2,000 frogs and give me one mutant. And so it's highly, highly variable.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. And you've got a large collection. You're working with like diamonds and cotton candies, and some of those are ones you've named yourself, right? First in the world type thing.
Yeah, some of those I've named myself. They were produced here. They were random appearances, and you know the diamond, the green and the silver, the xanthic diamond. Those are two sisters. They're individual. I haven't produced another one like them. I'm sure they're just a random appearance, and they're probably not going to be reciprocal. But the other ones, the translucents, I've made several of those, probably 10 to 12 of them. And I've never done the exact translucent, the same. There was the two cotton candies, which are the translucent. I put them together, but I don't know if the female bred with that male or if later on in the night another male basically switch during the breeding and kick the other male off because all the babies came out green. So it doesn't quite make sense.
Pretty crazy. I mean, do you expect that, like, breeding a green to a green in the future, you'll just get, like, random stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it happens. It happens all the time. A lot of my stuff that I've kept back has the potential to produce mutants. And so, you know, it's quite funny. When I produce the tadpoles and send the tadpoles out, I'll get someone about a month later. They'll send me a message. Hey, Mike, I got this came out of the frogs that I got as tadpoles from you. What is it? I'm like, oh, that's, you know, a mutant or that's a purple. It seems to happen about 10 or 12 times a year, which I don't mind.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't mind. It's the thing is with the frogs is there's still a pet industry. There's not a breeding industry behind it like the snakes or the geckos or another species
yeah.
that's easily produced. And so there's really not. There's no money in producing new cool morphs. You know, you have the initial frog that you can put a huge price on it. It'll most likely sit there forever. You put a reasonable price
yeah.
on them, they like it as a pet, and they'll go for it. But it's mostly a wholesale, you know, large-scale production of a color is what is the frog industry. I mean, that's just what it is.
Yeah, and so you don't only work with the Pac-Man frogs. What are some other frogs that you work with? So the people, you know, that are looking at that, I'm getting questions in the chat for the for sale page. What other frogs are you working with?
I do, right now I'm just starting with the red-eye tree frogs, tiger leg tree frogs, the hypochondrialis. I've got the super tiger legs. I have, let's see, there's bird poop frogs that are breeding now. I've got tomato frogs. I'm acquiring another group of pixies and cornutas, captive-born babies that I'm going to raise up for breeding. Let's see, what else? I'm looking at, if the shipment comes in from Malaysia, yellow-spotted climbing toads, the Megaphores nasuta, the Malaysian leaf frog. I really like those. Those are neat, and they would be something that would just be fantastic to have on the pet market. But everything currently is wild-caught on those. They take 6 months to a year to hatch from egg to go to a frog. They're in tadpole stage for such a long time. Their mouths are actually on the top of their head when they're tadpoles, and they feed off the top of the water.
Wow.
Which is real interesting. You know, by the time I'm done, I'll probably do about 15 frogs commercially, species-wise. I have the white tree frogs that I tinker with here and there. There'll be about 15 different types of frogs. I'm just figuring out what I can produce consistently to have available for the commercial market.
Okay. And we've got Val in the chat asking if you're going to be selling those on your page or if... You know, is that something that you're going to be breeding and selling this year?
Yeah, the red eyes will be this year. The bird poop frogs, there's already tadpoles now. I'm saving the first two or three groups of them until I build up about 100 adults, and then I'm going to start selling the babies of those. They're real easy. The bird poops are really easy. I don't have to rain chamber them, nothing. They just lay in their tank when they want to, and they're pretty consistent. Seems every other month right now they're laying. The Nasuta, if I acquire the group next month, I don't know what breed if they will. There's something that's been bred by only a few people in the world, so that's going to take some time. The red eyes I'll have later on this year. I'm just getting ready to breed the females now, and same thing with the white street frogs.
Okay. All right, and you're going to start going full-blown with the cornutas, right?
Yes. Yeah, I have groups of babies growing up now. I've done the wild-caught thing. You know, you buy wild-caught groups of adults, and they come in such bad shape. I just don't do it anymore. I feel bad for the animals that come in. They're just not kept correctly, and I'm tired of seeing it. I don't want to support it. And so I'm just going to keep the babies. The Frog Ranch produces babies, Cornuta here for the U.S., and some overseas companies. They produce Cornuta, so I'm going to import some babies, captive-born babies, raise them up. And supposedly the captive-born Cornutas are a lot easier to breed than the wild-caught. And so that's what I'm going to stick with. And my goal with them is to get them to a price point for the babies that will eliminate the need to bring in the wild-caught ones, because the wild-caught ones just do not do good. They just do not do good.
Yeah.
There's maybe four people I know that's kept them alive for a decent amount of time and has kept them as pets. Everybody else, yep, I had them. They lasted 3-4 months, and they were gone. And it's just not something that is worth continuing to do.
Yeah, I know how that goes. So what are some new projects that you're working on? Is there any, like, super mega Pac-Man frog morph that you're, you know, hoping to release this year?
This year, hopefully the Xanthic and the Purples. I have some adults of those. It just depends if they breed true, number one. And two, if hopefully they're co-dominant or dominant at least and not recessive, because I don't have pairs of those colors. I have, you know, an Xanthic male and a purple female. And so I don't really have, I have one Xanthic female, but she's a little bit too big for the male Xanthic. So I don't think they're going to breed this year. It's going to take some time to get that male up to size that, you know, he's a decent size to breed a female. I'm hoping that the cotton candies, I'm going to just put the two in together. Hopefully they spawn and all the timing's on and everything. I really hope that they produce a full spawn of cotton candies, because that's something that I'll put out to the public this year if they do. If they don't, it's going to be back to saving up all the babies for hets, and hopefully the following year they do the same thing. I hope it's not a leaky gene or random appearing, because that would not be a lot of fun. I've put 3 years into that, and I finally have a male and two females to put together. So we'll see what they do.
What would the cotton candy cost? If you were able to get it to where, you know, like you said, you get the whole spawn is cotton candies. Like, what, just so people know in case they're saving their pennies.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be cheap. Retail-wise, you'd probably see them around $50 a piece. There's no reason to have them above that. You know, I've put several years into them. I've made some life decisions and not moved and kept frogs and this and that. And so I need to get something out of them. But they'll be around $50 retail. Wholesalers, obviously, they're going to be less. But retail, you could expect around a $50 frog, $40 to $50 frog.
Nice. That's really cool. And our last subject for today, I know we're going over a little bit. What are some new species that you're going to touch on in the future now that you've, like, basically mastered and conquered and taken over the world with the frogs?
It's more or less going to change into stuff that I just like and not necessarily to produce for fun, you know, to produce for fun versus producing for a retail or a wholesale market. I like a frog. It's called a mahogany frog, and they're out of Malaysia. They are a, you know, mahogany color with the black, and it has, if you look at, like, the Milky Way, the little stars that you can see, those are kind of all through the black. There's a picture of one on my Instagram page that you can see under Mike's Fat Frogs. It's several pages down. The mahogany frogs are really, really neat. They are a stream-type frog, so they are a larger setup. You have to have some sort of water flow moving through, but they're neat. They're just a neat frog. Another one is the striped streams. They're from the same area. They can go in the same tanks, but these guys are black with an orange to a yellow coloration. They have two stripes down the back, and then they have spots all over them. Those are neat.
Right.
Let's see. You know, I don't really have anything kind of pinpointed on what exactly I want to keep and just tinker with. A lot of my time recently has been going into the birds, and so I'm kind of keeping things frog-wise that I just like to have versus that I need to put a lot of time into and mass produce. So that's just kind of where it's at for the moment.
Okay. And do you see yourself going, like, halfway on birds or over your operation?
It's going to be a mix. The thing is with the birds, the nice part about the birds is I can hire people once it gets to a certain level. Birds are a lot easier. You feed, you water them. They're not living in water. They're not something that if you mess up the water, it's not going to kill them. Unless you pour some sort of toxin in the water. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The birds, the birds can be put out in flight. Somebody can feed, water them, and I can have somebody go out there daily and do it. It just depends on, you know, what this next year looks like and the opportunities that have been put in front of me, and I just have to pick what I'm going to do. Frogs will always be there. It's just a matter of what level. If I'm going to back down and just do it for a hobby or if it's going to be full-blown business. But within the next 6 or 8 months, I'm going to know either way. And yeah, we'll see where it takes it from there.
Wow. Well, we are at the end, so I do want to thank you so much for coming on. And is there anything that you want to, you know, promote or something like that? I know we covered your Facebook group, and is there anything else that you want to tell everybody?
You know, just if you find something you like, figure out a way to always have it around. If you want to breed frogs, just stick with it. You know, don't necessarily look for the person to give you the answers. Ask questions. It's all you have to do. It's not a secret to breeding frogs. It just takes time and repetition. The more frogs you have, generally, the easier it is to breed. You'll see little things along the lines. The frogs will give key signs, body movements, stuff like that, when they're ready to breed. And after a while, you'll start picking it up, and you'll be able to do it on command, pretty much. You'll know exactly when to do it, and it's almost a guaranteed every time. And so just stick with what you like. Don't do it for anybody else, just what you like. Don't do it because, oh, you think there's money in it today. Well, tomorrow there may not be any. So do it because you like it.
Yeah, those great words to live by in this hobby, for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day and coming on here, and hopefully we can get you on again in the future.
Oh, of course. Thank you for having me.
All right. It was great talking to you, Mike. I'll talk to you later.
You too. Have a good one.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Tuning in to Empire State Reptiles Live. This is your substitute host, Morgan Beebe from Thor Gecko and Late Night Leos. I hope you guys enjoyed, and Chris will be back to host the other episodes. I'm going to be doing once or twice a month, something like that, just to help him out. You know, life's getting crazy, and, you know, the radio show's got to support each other. You can check me out on Late Night Leo's Radio on Blog Talk and on YouTube. I got the Thor Gecko YouTube channel, and I do playlists of all of my Late Night Leo's episodes I put on there, just because it's easier for people. You know, maybe you don't have iTunes or something like that. You can just go to YouTube and set your phone down, listen, and hopefully I'll get Chris doing that too, figure out something. Maybe I'll talk to him tonight and see if he wants to do something like that, hook him up. So thank you guys so much, and I've got my little outro here. Thank you for tuning in to Empire State Reptiles Live with Mike Madsen. Okay, it's over. 1 minute outro. See you guys later.